you were roughly 16, 17, you're around my age when Live at Budokan came out. What was it like? How did it really impact you? And how big was it when it came out?
Well, I would have been slightly older than 17. I think it was their third album. And I had been interested in Cheap Trick starting in 1975, 76, 77. They used to tour around the Midwest quite regularly, and I would watch them every Wednesday in Champaign at a little place called Chances Are. It was fantastic to be that close to a band that you knew was going to make it big. They hadn't made it big yet, but you could tell that they were going to make it.
Did you ever see them other places besides Champaign?
Traveled to Bloomington, as a matter of fact, for Rites of Spring. Cheap Trick played at one of the Rites of Spring, and I remember riding my motorcycle over to see Cheap Trick.
Hey, I'm going to flip it so I want you to want me.
Sounds good. Let's go.
Yeah.
I want you to want me.
I remember Mom told me she would always listen to that song, you know, when she was down or something like that. And I really like the song because I think I can kind of relate to her with that. What's your interpretation of it?
Well, catchy, and it obviously worked. I mean, I want you to want me. Just what it says. I want you to want me. I want you. I want to be a friend of yours. I want to be desirable to you.
I agree with that too.
Obviously a great song that still endures. That if you listen to classic rock stations, you will hear it often.
Mm-hmm. You said that you knew they were going to be big when you saw them play. Why did you think that?
Oh, the music, of course, but they had great stage presence. Bunny Carlos was the drummer, and he had the ever-present cigarette in his mouth, and he played drums with these huge drumsticks, and he was just back there banging on the skins. And Robin Zander would be dressed in all white suits, and he was just a very elegant-looking man. And Rick Nielsen would bop around with his guitar, and he had great stage presence, and Tom Peterson playing the bass, and you just knew that this wasn't a every Wednesday night band that you could watch for $2, that they were going somewhere. And one of their biggest things that propelled them, of course Budokan did, but in the early years, Rolling Stone magazine named them the worst rock band of the year. And bad publicity is better than no publicity, mm-hmm. And that actually
exactly.
Kind of propelled them. And they would even say that on stage. And we'd like to thank Rolling Stone for, you know, naming us the worst rock band of the year. And that was kind of comical, but it certainly got them a lot of attention.
It's actually funny because they recently got inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year. When I watched their speech, you could tell just how thankful they were for the fans, of course, but also they emphasized the fact that they were from Rockford, Illinois, a very small Midwestern town. What was it like for you when you found out that they were getting inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Absolutely thrilling, and about time. You know, they took to rock and roll, they took a lot of Midwestern values.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's always a good thing when your favorite band is from where you're from.
Oh,
it makes you have
sure.
a sense of pride or something like
yeah.
that.
You feel tied into them. I mean, I would say for me personally, probably the other huge band that was local would have been REO Speedwagon, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be able to identify with these two bands that were so close, and you could think, boy, they're not that much different than me. They grew mm-hmm. up right in Rockford, Illinois. You want to listen to Surrender?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, let's put that on. Listen to that for a sec. So, Bridget,
mm-hmm.
Mommy's all right, Daddy's all right. What's your interpretation of that? What are they trying to say?
Well, I always found it interesting how he said Mommy's all right. She's just a little weird. And I don't really understand where he's going with that. But I really like the song because I think the lyrics are very catchy and the song's very catchy. And when I see them play it live, you can tell that it really hypes people up. and it makes you want to dance and all that. So it's a very enjoyable song to listen to.
Yeah, I'm not sure what my interpretation is. Of course, never give yourself away. Don't give up. Keep fighting.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, mommy's all right, daddy's all right. You know, I didn't know mommy served in the war. Mid-80s, they actually elicited for the first time outside songwriters. Rick Nielsen wrote most of their songs for them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they called them 80s factory ballads. Mm-hmm. And the song that I'm referring to is The Flame.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful song. What do you think of that song?
I have to agree. I think it is a very beautiful song. Yeah, I think it's really pretty and I really do like it. I like the lyrics with it a lot. I think it kind of like speaks to me in a way. So what is your take on that one, Dad?
It's basically about reigniting the flame and getting back into each other. And, and again, the catchy part of it is it's such a beautiful song. And,
yeah.
And Robin Zander's voice just comes out so clear.
Yeah, precise. He does have a very beautiful voice.
Got a great voice.
Yeah.
Bridget, I enjoy listening to music with you so much. It's one of the things that we share. We go to concerts together. We went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ceremony together. And that gap, you know, gap that is your age and my age, the one thing that keeps us tied together is rock and roll and our turntable, because we play music and we listen to it together.
I think that ties a lot of people together. And I think it's a beautiful idea, since you were there when Cheap Trick, when they first came out, and now you're passing it on to a different generation. And in the future, my generation, I will pass it on to my kids.
Gotta keep it alive.
And parents who were there when rock and roll was at its height, they're sharing it with their children, and they're going to share it with their children. So in the end, it's going to be a never-ending thing. It's going to go on forever.
It's great fun, and we're not the only parent-child that has that relationship. You know, we have many friends who go to Lollapalooza together, and they share that, and they share listening to music, and it keeps us together.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Dad, for getting me into music.
Hey, thanks for listening with me. I mean, it's great stuff.
Yeah.